The idea of the world ending isn't just found in doomsday predictions. It's also part of God's plan, as revealed in Scripture. In today's episode, we're diving into 2 Peter 3, where Peter offers prophetic glimpses into the future of the universe. You'll discover the reasons behind God's delay in judgment, the coming destruction of the world by fire, and the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Learn how to live in light of these truths.
Go ask the average person on the street today about where the world is heading, and you're not going to hear much optimism at all. National security, world peace, those are concerns for many people. Nations are wrestling for military or economic power over other nations. Infectious disease are still the leading cause of death worldwide. We constantly hear the dire predictions of the depletion of natural resources, even the extinction of the human race. More and more people are convinced of a coming global crisis, if not the end of the world. Now, in a manner of speaking, they're absolutely right. This planet, in fact, the entire universe, is going to come to an end. The question is, what's the end of the world going to look like? Does the Bible tell us anything about it? Well, let me tell you, the answer is yes. So as we set sail now back into 2 Peter, we discover that the Apostle Peter was given a divine telescope, as it were, to peer off into the distant future and literally describe the end of the world. And what he provides for us here in chapter 3 are three action steps that we need to apply. First, here it is. We're to take biblical prophecies seriously. Peter begins now with verse 1. I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. In other words, Peter's saying here, what I'm about to tell you has been in part predicted by the prophets in the Old Testament and repeated by the apostles in the New Testament. This isn't something brand new. Now, here's one of the prophecies of these last days, verse 3. Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. These are people then that mock the truth of God. Peter reveals their motive. They don't want to give up their sinful desires. By the way, in the New Testament, this expression, last days, that actually refers to the period of time between the birth of Christ and the return of Christ. So the last days are now 2,000 years long, and the clock is still ticking. These scoffers aren't saying anything new either. They've been saying it throughout the course of the last 2,000 years. Verse 4 tells us here that they are saying, to this day, ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. What they're claiming here is that the way things are today, well, that's the way they've always been. By the way, that's one of the key arguments of evolutionists today. Everything has remained constant since time began. So, for example, based on the rates of normal erosion, well, it would have taken the Colorado River about 6 million years, they say, to erode much of the Grand Canyon. They argue that the Earth then can't be 6,000 to 8,000 years old, as indicated by the genealogical records in Genesis, if you take them at face value, which I do. Well, the Earth has to be at least 6 million years old. And here's the evolutionists' fatal flaw. They don't allow for any kind of divine intervention in history, so they rule out the miracles of creation, like the miracle of bringing starlight immediately to planet Earth for our benefit, or creating trees already mature and bearing fruit, Genesis 1:11, or creating an adult male and female named Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. But here in verse 6, Peter does write about divine intervention. The world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapters 6 to 8, that gives us the account of the global flood and how it not only eliminated the human race outside of Noah's family, but also dramatically eroded and sculpted and changed the topography of the earth. All that to say, there's no reason not to take biblical prophecies and predictions seriously. Peter says we ought to. Well, here's our second action step. We need to take God's judgment and power seriously. Well, God promised Noah that he would never destroy the earth again with water, Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. Well, now Peter delivers God's promise that the final worldwide destruction is going to be with fire. Peter writes here in verse 7, "By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." So verse 4, well, the mockers and scoffers deny the coming judgment of God because judgment hasn't fallen. Everything is continuing as always. They also argue that even if Jesus was the Son of God, well, he hadn't kept his promise to come back now for some 2,000 years, and that means he never will. Well, Peter explains the delay here in verse 8. He writes, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." In other words, it might be 1,000 years to us, but God exists at the same time from eternity past to eternity future. So, yeah, it's been 2,000 years to us, but to God, it's really only been like 2 days. Now, verse 9 gives us another reason for God's delay in this fiery judgment. "The Lord," he writes here, "is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." In other words, in his mercy, God is not in any hurry to judge the world with this final judgment of fire. He's patiently waiting. He's giving people time to repent and believe. Now, we've covered many texts that describe salvation as God choosing his elect. Well, this text flips over the coin and emphasizes the other side of salvation, a person choosing God. And let me tell you, both sides are true. And in this regard, God doesn't wish for anyone to reject the gospel, although many will choose to deny him or defy him. The unbelieving human race one day will experience the promise of God's wrath here in this passage. Peter writes here in verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." In other words, this final judgment is going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief. A thief never calls ahead, does he? He just shows up. Now, this phrase here for the day of the Lord, this refers to a future time of divine judgment. It often refers to the tribulation period, which immediately follows the rapture. But in this context, Peter's taking us all the way past the rapture, past the tribulation, past the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ on earth, to this final judgment of all of the unsaved, when Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 tells us the universe will effectively disappear. Well, how is that? Well, Peter fills in the blanks here in verse 10. "Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Now, this fiery judgment takes place at the end of Christ's millennial reign or kingdom, that 1,000-year kingdom. So Peter ends his letter then by urging his readers to take one more action step. Here it is. We need to apply God's commands and priorities seriously. I mean, look, beloved, if the world is going to end one day, what kind of testimony do we want to leave behind? That we were fearful, that we were anxious, that we were uncommitted, that we were apathetic toward our world of scoffers? No, Peter answers here in verse 11. "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved," that is, the universe literally destroyed, "what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Well, I just read, beloved, we've been given the future of the universe. This is the end of the world as we know it. It'll one day dissolve in a great fireball, and then it will be created new again. Peter writes here in verse 13, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And oh, let me tell you, this time, the universe and planet Earth are going to last forever. And think about this. We will be with the Lord when He performs this new creation. Who knows? It's my opinion, He might even follow the same pattern, the same order, right out of Genesis chapter 1. Only this time, we'll be able to see Him, hear Him, speak the word, and bring the new universe into existence. Well, in the meantime, here's what we do know. Peter writes in verse 18, let's continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful letter written by the Apostle Peter. Now, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called The End of the World. This world will one day pass away, but we can look forward to the promise of a new creation, a world filled with God's righteousness. In the meantime, let's live with urgency, holiness, and hope, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as we await the day He makes all things new. I encourage you to install the Wisdom International app on your phone or tablet. You'll have access to Stephen's entire Bible teaching library. You can follow along with the Wisdom Journey and Wisdom for the Heart and listen to or read his sermons. The app also features daily devotionals, Stephen's blog, and a built-in Bible. You can either read the text or listen to the Bible being read aloud, which is perfect for when you're driving or on the go. To get started, simply search for Wisdom International in your App Store. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. Thanks for joining us. I hope today's lesson was a blessing, and I hope you'll join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.